15 to 20 million.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, as well as AmericanWorkersRadio.com. We have a good show prepared today. It's going to be a discussion between the very special person in the community, our consumer advocate, who looks out for the people and lets me know what is happening in the community. And sometimes people get upset with what they hear, but they're also educated as to why we are where we are and what we have to do to change it. In order to bring back jobs, we have to set the road straight. We can't continue to ride on a bumpy road where we're going to get flat tires and everything else. But first, I would like to ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in right now here on 860 or on AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And you can also listen live from anywhere in the world simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, Joseph Evangelist and I are here, and we're going to discuss the latest things happening in our country. And my suggestion today is that during this political campaign, we've been talking about directing more of our efforts to the 29 million businesses that are located here in the USA. Now, when I say 29 million businesses, I mean that's your little stores in your neighborhood, that's the bigger manufacturing companies, as well as the giant manufacturing companies. Together, all those people, as we mentioned in the past, are employing 142 million people. Now, in a country of 314 million, we should be able to employ at least 60% of our people, which means 188 million jobs we should have today, but we don't. And there are many reasons that that came about. There are too many entitlements where people feel that they're being paid not to work. There's also many programs in our schools that were dropped in the industrial arts, and it killed a lot of the skills. So when jobs were leaving this country, people then said, well, we don't have the skilled people anyway, so we'll just forget about it. But this political campaign, and by the way, as you know, next Wednesday evening, October the 3rd, is the first presidential debate. I'm going to be very interested to see what they have to say. And of course, I'm not going to have much of a reaction because I want to see all of the debates before I make any kind of decision as to what I feel. But as we've been talking, we have to have candidates put their plans in writing. Many of the candidates in all levels of the office in the country have been talking, but there's been no results. And that's why it's disturbing. I also want to, before we get into our conversation, I also want to say that we need elected leaders that are going to lift us up. All we hear in the news media is this one's no good, that one's no good. What is going to lift us up? We need a new industrial revolution in America. We need a new technology revolution in America. We have all these possibilities, and yet simply haven't been able to get off the mark and move forward. Joseph, if I had asked you today, putting all the past behind, and ask you, what would you do today to bring forth a major change in our economy?
Actually, the thing that I would actually do is I would change the function of the IRS. And I would also change how we handle tax relief. The constant argument that we want less taxes to the federal government has been a disaster in the United States, and it's going to continue to sap jobs out of places like Philadelphia and other big cities. The issue is the federal tax system is the most progressive we have in the country, because it increases by your earnings. So you pay more taxes as you earn more. Whereas state and local taxes tend to be regressive, as you pay based on consumption, sales taxes, you pay real estate. So over the past 10, 15 years, we have been collecting, using the IRS to redistribute money. So we have all the earned income tax credits, and we have lots of money that's being sent back out. So the IRS is, the equivalent would be is...
But we're sending the money out, but we're not collecting enough money
to put into the system.
That's why we're having this debt
crisis. We're collecting enough money. The equivalent is if you're running a catering business and you at the table order a pitcher of water, and you fill the pitcher in there and there's enough for everybody at the table, and you say, well, you know, before I go to your table, I'm going to go to the smaller table and distribute the water. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and you have a half of pitcher when you finally get to the table, and there's not enough money, so you now have to go get water from somewhere else to fill all these glasses. That's what the IRS is doing right now, is the IRS collects money and then gives money back in the form of tax refunds, etc., and then says, well, you know, we don't have enough money to continue providing things to the states for education, Department of Transportation. So what happens is the states start to increase their taxes. Well, as the states increase their taxes, they use more regressive forms. So you end up with a higher sales tax, which we found in Philadelphia recently.
Yes.
You end up with higher real estate taxes, which next year, according to my councilman, my taxes could go up by 50% based on the new piece. I did see that notice. So, you know, if you're paying $2,000 in taxes on a house now, you know, next year they're going to want $3,000. Well, what do you think that's going to do to rents? It's going to raise rents. It's going to go up. The rents will go up. Businesses will have to increase prices. And in many cases, businesses will move when their lease is up because they're mm-hmm. not going to pay the money to stay in Philadelphia.
And that's a
or
good
whatever other area.
And that's a good point. That is exactly what I hear from businessmen as I go around. I do a lot of research and speaking directly with business managers, business owners, and they tell me, we can't continue to be a tax place in the city. We can't, you know, get a notice and all of a sudden in 6 months your taxes are going up. Why? For what reason? How do we justify it? They can't justify it. There's too many things on the table and not enough people contributing into the system. The question is, how do we bring this system to its knees so that we can revitalize the whole deal and make it more profitable for businesses to stay, not only in the area of our broadcast, our Philadelphia tri-state area, but all across the USA. People are starting to talk about helping industries, and I'm pleased to say every week another industry comes back home, and that's really good. You hear it on Channel 6, you hear it on Channel 10 and Channel 3 in the Philadelphia area. They're starting to really highlight businesses coming home. But before we get to the point of really filling up all these places, all of us will be dead and gone many years.
Well, I think the bigger issue that you have to look at is I was reading the Inquirer article on Pennsylvania's elusive political picture. And there was a very saying comment in the article where the gentleman says that the people are moving to Pennsylvania from Maryland, and his statement is, Maryland is a very liberal state. They have migrated here with the hopes of a lesser tax burden, but once they get here, they want the handouts that they had in Maryland. So here's the catch is, what we're having is we have people who get used to lots and lots of services, and then that leads to lots and lots of local taxes. So what happens is people flee the taxes and then find out, oh, well, the services don't exist any other place. I want those services. If they lobby hard enough, we put the services in and the taxes go up. As the taxes go up, if it's passed on just to businesses or real estate taxes like they do here in Philadelphia, you have businesses leave. And then you ultimately the people are going to have to follow the jobs.
As you see businesses leave, where do they normally go?
It depends on what you're doing. Is if you can get just outside the city in certain, like, for example, is I had a friend who moved out into Roslyn because the township only wanted 1% taxes, where Philadelphia wanted 4. You know, so they moved the equivalent of, you know, a half mile, and they were outside the city because they were close to the edge of the city. But, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, is, you know, that was one shift that they made that was, you know, there. Now, of course, where they are, there's no real public transportation to get to. So, you know, if workers need to get there, they're kind of on their own. You have to, you're limited to what you can do.
And transportation now is also another issue with some of the business people I speak with. People live all over the place and commute to a job. And so if it's snowing out or whatever, it's a problem for them to get in. So a lot of people are now saying, I'm going to look for people within a 10-mile radius, and I'll try to keep my jobs closer to home with the idea of building community. And I think that's great. That's very good, because a two-hour-away job or an hour and a half or even an hour, it's good to have that job, but it takes a lot of times in traffic jams and stuff like that. I know we all know what that's all about. But the thing is, the business people that we have presently in the system, which is 29 million registered businesses in the USA. Of the 29 million, probably half of them are smaller entities, mom and pop stores and things like that. But we do have a good 15 million that have good numbers of employees and could increase their amount of employees if people went out of their way to buy their products. I also learned, and I've mentioned this some months ago, I tried to follow this program very closely, what we were saying over the time, over the last few months. People have told me that their merchandisers do not highlight the American-made stuff. And that is why places like this, this broadcast here on 860 AM radio, American Workers Radio, is doing an extremely good job, because it's alerting our listeners, who I ask alert their family members and friends and walk into the stores. Last week I went to a mall and I visited a few stores, and the people are telling me this. People do come in and ask for American made. We're embarrassed to say we don't have that particular item that you have. We have other items in the store maybe, but not that particular item. So what people are doing, especially when it comes to clothing, they're just sitting back and saying, well, since I can't find anything, I don't want to go against my thinking to try to support American. I'll do with what I have right now. So there's a losing part right there. The stores lose business, because much of is done on impulse buying. The manufacturer, wherever the stuff is coming from overseas, they're losing business coming to America, which is fine as long as, and I'm not complaining about foreign stuff coming to America. I am complaining that we don't have enough competitive items here in the USA. And that's what I would like to see our candidates get up there and discuss. What are they going to do for the American people right now? All the innuendos and you're this and you're that. I don't care about that. That doesn't put a dollar in anyone's pocket. That doesn't help send their kid to school, feed their child. And because we don't have jobs, we have all these entitlements that continue to grow.
But on the other side, what we have done is we've created a Affordable Care Act, which will force businesses to provide health care. And in my opinion, as somebody who's worked in business, what it's going to do is it's going to make sure that people don't see raises for years to come, because all of their raises will go directly over. As the average family plan last year was the equivalent of a 75 cent an hour raise.
Well, as you're saying that, very interesting you said that. An employer told me that in their employer policy, that is going to be listed, because right now the employer policies, a lot of people are operating on 10 years ago, but they're going to put in the new policy that that based upon rates and health care and everything else, we will not be able to provide the raises as, you know, what was listed in the policy before. After a year, you get this. After 2 years, you get that. That's not going to happen. And how is that going to affect our workers, our families, when their tax bills are going up, their food bills are going up, and gas is an absolute disgrace? Gas is an absolute... Oh, okay. We'll be back. And by the way, at the end of today's broadcast, I want to make a few community announcements, and I do want to thank our advertisers and all of the members of our community that have been supporting this radio broadcast. Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish.
Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, is available to handle your legal matters. She's part of the well-known firm Bennett, Bricklin, and Salzburg, and works in all areas of the law, including immigration, personal injury, compensation, and real estate. Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio is fluent in both English and Polish and welcomes clients to contact her from throughout the Philadelphia area and New Jersey. If you need legal assistance, call Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio at area code 215-423-4824. That's area code 215-423-4824. The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the national office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. And I'd like to open up the phone lines for a call or two. You can contact us at 215-922-5300. As I said, next week, we are going to watch the first presidential debate. And I'm very interested, and I'm not saying anything until all the debates are over. But I want our national leaders to start lifting us up, uniting us so that we can get out of this this terrible recession. I mean, it's a recession that has hurt people of every nationality. I mean, this broadcast is done during the Polish American radio program time, but it's hurt every nationality. And working in the community in social services, I hear directly from the people who are struggling along, getting all these increased bills, working themselves to death trying to pay these bills and stay above water. And then all we hear on a national level is we're going to increase taxes, increase entitlements. And I'd rather see them start increasing job opportunities so that we can get the 46 million jobs that we need. We have our first caller on the phone, and it is Johnny. Johnny, welcome to the broadcast.
You, sir, I've listened to this program for lots of times, and I will tell you this. The work you do in this community is to be commended, upheld, and respected. I love the show. You are like a wizard among wizards in this community.
Oh, my goodness. Joseph, that means he's talking about you, the wizard of wizards.
You are the wizard of wizards in this community. And I want to say, this is like you said, this is an important election. Everyone should listen to the debates. Like you said, take a minute, step back, and listen. Find out what's going on with this country and this economy. And then make your move, make your vote. But listen to what they say first. Don't go what the media says. Listen to the debate. Listen to what the man says.
Well, I always make my mind up at the very last minute about things. I want to hear what everyone has to offer. And I have always been outspoken. You hear so many people promise you the world, and that lasts until the election is over, and then it's forgotten. In fact, in many cases, you go to call them for, you know, to follow up on what they discussed, and oh, they're out of town for a week. They're resting up after the vacation. Then they're back on duty. They're in legislative meetings and all. They do not follow up, and I think it's really time that people start to follow up. Not just talk us to death, and it's forgotten, you know, the next day after the election, and hope that the people have short memories.
That's what it seems like all the time. They hope you have a short memory span and forgot what they said. Let's hold them to it this time. Let's make them turn this country back to where it's supposed to be. It's a shame.
Yes, it is. It is a disgrace. And I'm grateful to our consumer advocate, Joe Evangelist, because he brings many issues to the attention of the people, because we can highlight what we can do for American workers. However, if we don't have the jobs to highlight what they're making, when I went shopping 2 weeks ago, I wanted to bring five products from a particular store that advertises very heavy in the local newspapers. I went to that store, and 98% of everything in the store is foreign made. But it's all with our traditional labels, the labels that we've known for 50 years that were made here in California or Detroit or wherever, they're now all foreign made. How is that possible? What politician was asleep? What business leaders were asleep? How do these business leaders think that people are going to be able to go to a store and buy something when they have no money from a job? Entitlements are not going to give them enough money to go out and spend. It's simply not going to happen.
Well, every time you pick up a product not made in this country, you're putting another American worker out of business and out of a job.
I agree.
That's what you should be thinking.
I agree 100%. In fact, we were talking on many occasions that we lost our trades, and it's time for the high schools and the colleges and the special training programs to focus on the latest technology that's needed here in the U.S. to bring our businesses back to life. And when people say, oh, people don't want to do manufacturing and this and that, you don't know how many people tell me they would rather be in a manufacturing job after being in a position of responsibility, listening to all the problems of the people that they had to, you know, supervise. They'd rather be in a 9-to-5 type job where they did a quality job and were able to go home and be finished.
And have a family life with their families. What happened to that? 9-to-5, you come home and enjoy the rest of your day with your family. You can't do that no more the way this economy is. People working 2, 3, 4 jobs just to make ends meet. And that's sad because we're the greatest country in the world, hands down. That's sad that it has to be inside this country and that you're seeing it as an American, as the American people. What would our other presidents and our forefathers say rolling over in their graves the way this economy is being handled? And nobody has the answers. Everyone's stepping away from it, or they have the solution, and they really don't. We got to put the right man in behind the White House.
Are you going to be watching the debates?
I'm definitely watching every debate out there. I have to be informed. I have to know what's going on. This is my country.
Excellent. Oh, I feel very good. Joseph, do you have something to say to our caller?
Well, I think there's another perspective that you have to look at is a lot of this area where we have issues with the 9-to-5 and everything else is that we want more. Is no one in America is happy with what they have. And I mean, even the poor and the entitlement, we have programs that give the entitlement people free cell phones. And this is part of the problem is, as you want more, you have to work more for it. And people in this country don't accept that. It's always trying to keep up, and many people aren't happy with what they have. And as long as they're going to try and consume more, which is what our entire economy is based on, you know, trying to convince people to buy more stuff, you know, we're going to have a hard time lifting everybody up to that level. I mean, look at the perfect example is the housing markets and what we build in this country. Is the biggest boom was the baby boomers. They're all getting old now. Now, if you look at housing starts, many of them are these huge McMansions. But let's look at what's going to happen here is the boomers, which are the biggest portion of the population, are going to be downsizing. So they're going to go from their 3,000 or 4,000 square foot home down to a 1,200 square foot home. And then they're going to, several years from now, probably go to a 200 square foot nursing home. And then, as one of the authors said, is the next spot is a 20 foot plot. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're going to downsize as they go through the end of life. But the hard part that you have is there isn't anybody here who can afford these huge houses. Mm-hmm. But that's all we build.
In fact, I was speaking to a person I know today that was just in Florida. And they said to me that some of the homes that were up for sale for $400,000 are $1.5 million. And he said it's the most beautiful homes and the beautiful communities and no possibility to, you know, get over it. I just want to mention something that appeared in the Monday, September the 24th Philadelphia Inquirer. It gave some statistics about some of the things that are happening in Pennsylvania in 2008 and today. In 2008, our population, let's start off with the population, was 12,448,000 people. Today, it's 12,742,000 people. So we gained, over this four-year period, 294,000 people. Now, unemployed in 2008 was 6.8%. Right now, today, it's 8.1%. People employed are now 6 million in this Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Right today, 6 million were employed in 2008. Today, it's 5,900,000. It's a decrease of 76,000 jobs. However, we increased the population by 294,000. Now, manufacturing jobs, this is where I'm really concerned for the people, and that's why I beg you to please go out and support our jobs and our products that are in the state of Pennsylvania and all over the USA. Manufacturing jobs in the state of Pennsylvania was 611,000 people employed in 2008. In 2012, as of this date, we have 570,000, which means we lost 40,000 jobs in the state of Pennsylvania in the last 3.5 years. The statistics are pretty frightening, but it just shows us that we have to do more. Now, many of those companies were put out of business because of the recession. They couldn't pay the upkeep. They couldn't pay the employees anymore, the benefits. Our politicians have let us down and have forced us into all these programs, long-term unemployment, various entitlements, food stamps went up, and everything else. It's ridiculous. I would like to see what our national candidates, remember, the president of the United States is a figurehead, but that person can really unite people for change. And that's really what I want to see happen in these debates. I don't want to hear, oh, you said this, you did this. Their planners, the people who are prepping them for these debates, should already say to themselves, we cannot continue to allow all of this time to be wasted, especially on national TV. And by the way, the world is watching these debates to see what's going to be said, pro or con, to help America. Naturally, people in other countries don't care if America goes down more. They don't care because they're making the products and we're buying them. We're buying them on borrowed dollars. Hold on, we'll be back in a few moments, and I do have some community announcements to make at the end of today's broadcast. You're listening to Michael Blihosh, your host, and I'm here with Joseph Evangelist. And if someone would like to call, you can give us a call at 215-922-5300.
The office of Dr. Vojimir Zin and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zin of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zin speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For your weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. And by Steam My Carpets, which serves commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at 1-877-778-3263 or visit steammycarpets.com. The law firm of Dominik Rostowski is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostowski Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominik Rostowski on the internet at rostowski.com. Dominik Rostowski, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language. Welcome back to our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio. I'm here with Joseph Evangelist, and I want to thank our sponsors for promoting our efforts and thank all of the community organizations that have been sponsoring our program as well. We'll be speaking about some of their upcoming events in the very few minutes. First of all, as we've been talking earlier, we have 29 million businesses in America right now. Probably half of them employ large numbers of people, and many of them are in your own communities and could help to make progress happen in America if we really go out of our way to support them. In fact, I'd like to make this sort of a goal of our local, statewide, and national candidates and all current office holders, people running for office and office holders, to set a goal that private sector businesses will be their number one priority so that they can increase production, sales, and services. It's really depressing to me when you buy a product, then you need some kind of service, you call a foreign country to receive information. And they, you know, it's these robotic type people. Oh, yes, I know what you mean and this and that. And you're not able to do that. Those jobs should be here. Those service-oriented jobs should be here in the USA. There should be no excuse whatsoever.
Well, I disagree with that. The problem that you have here is we've had so many lawsuits in this country, and we have so many things that people are entitled to that the cost of maintaining somebody to answer the phone for a support call is so high that you would no longer be able to compete on the product.
Maybe this is an opportunity for people that are unemployed to go into a new area of training where people who are on other sort of government assistance to go in to train for these kinds of jobs. My point is, we need to get 50% of the jobs that we have outsourced back here in the USA. With that, we would have 20 million jobs, especially in the clothing industry.
Right. But think of it this way. Let's take some company like Dell with a call center. If you bring the call center back and you have over 50 people, let's say that they're 50 families. In addition to whatever you're paying them, you're going to pay $15,000 a year for healthcare under the new law. The healthcare alone is enough for companies to say, well, we're not bringing them back.
Okay, well, here's a question that you're bringing that up. Suppose a company has in their policy that they only pay for the individual that's working for the company. The rest of the family plan is on them. What do you do in this situation?
Well, I see a lot of lawsuits coming with that. I mean, most recently, if you look at what the Senate is taking up is they're taking up a bill for pregnant women is if they become pregnant and are no longer supposed to do that, are able to do what their job is, they want
a lighter position.
No, actually, they want accommodation as if pregnancy was a disability. So the hard part is, you know, if you have a job and the person is a loader and they get pregnant and they have a complication, and they can't do their job anymore, you have to hire another person to help them do their original job until the pregnancy is over. The hard part that you have with all this is a lot of it's from the ACLU, is everybody has a right. You know, we've sued prisons over whether or not, you know, the
kosher foods.
The Muslim faith is they have people who are segregated for safety reasons. And they sue to say that my religion requires us to pray in group. And the ACLU takes up, says, you know, this guy is segregated for security reasons, but his religion says this, so we now have to add security guards to let him go back into a group. And the fact that we have this and that all of these are entitlements or rights, you know, we have a right to health care. And these people believe that, you know, I have children and they have a right to health care for free. They have a right to an education for free. They have a right to housing for free. You know, and the worst case scenario
is... So what you're saying here, and I know exactly what you're saying because I hear it from everybody, the ACLU will come forward and put a lawsuit in. Well, my response to that is, how much is the ACLU generating to fund the mandates that they're demanding?
Nothing.
Well, then we can't have unfunded mandates. It can't continue like this. This has got to come to a hard resting place. We have reached a point in America that we can't go down any further. We're already at the rock bottom. We have got to start to go up. That's why I said earlier we need elected officials that'll bring the country together. Much of what we discuss during this program, when I meet people in my travels, they say, I didn't know anything about it. Well, in many cases, the press is playing on the same old issues, just dancing and powdering them up and putting them in the eye of the public, instead of allowing people to know what's happening. How many people would you say would know about the ACLU requirements? Probably a small percentage. Mm-hmm. And yet, those mandates are being paid for by their tax dollars.
Well, I mean, look at the most recent lawsuit against Bank of America. Is Bank of America is being sued that they did a study and they said, well, Bank of America foreclosed in white neighborhoods. They foreclosed in minority neighborhoods. And they're suing Bank of America that the policy that is not caring for foreclosed homes in minority neighborhoods is racist. Mm-hmm. And they're actually suing Bank of America. The ACLU is suing the prison system to allow for financial restitution if your religious rights were violated in prison because you may have moved. So, you know, you're upset about something that was happened while you were in prison. You were moved to another prison. You should be monetarily compensated.
Joseph, you're right. And this is exactly what I hear from people everywhere. But my point here is, who is monitoring the rights of America's workers? Well, that's the big question. Everybody's monitoring the rights of everyone that's not participating or not participating that much. Who's monitoring the rights of the people who get up every day, work hard, save some money, support the economy, support their families, do things to go out and enjoy? Who's supporting them?
Well, the issue that you have to look at is they are the group that is quiet most of the time.
That's the problem.
Mitt Romney made a statement the other day in Ohio that people are all upset about. He told the middle class people that don't expect a tax cut from me. He wants to see the tax rates go down, and he actually has a point. He wants to see the tax rates go down because most of the small business owners who run businesses pay taxes at an individual rate. So if you want to raise the 35% tax rate up higher, like the Democrats are asking, and push it up, the business owners are paying their whatever's left at the end of the year at that rate. Well, as soon as you start raising their tax rate, the solution is to squeeze money out of the business. So the people who you want to build these jobs and expand businesses, the tax code that we're putting in at the federal level is pushing the exact opposite direction. The local levels are pushing it away. The worst case scenario that you're going to see is at a certain point, people are going to decide, the business owners are going to decide that they have enough and they're going to stop building businesses. Mm-hmm. And there won't be anybody to tax.
And that's exactly because of these situations and people being overtaxed and businesses being overtaxed. That's why I've been promoting this National Small Business Weekend, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. I've gone into a few of those businesses. Some haven't heard about the program. They liked the flyer that I gave them, and they said they'll do something about it. And I'm asking all of the listeners to help our small businesses. Go out of your way every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month to support your local community businesses because they are starving at this point. If the people are not walking into the big stores, they're definitely not walking into the small stores. Hold on one moment. I heard something this week which really pleased me, and that is that more and more people are advertising the fact that their products are coming in that are made in America. We have a caller on the phone. I'm going to ask her to say a few words about that particular issue, having our products more designated as made in America. On the phone is Maria.
Hello. Good afternoon to everyone.
Good afternoon.
I'm listening. Very interesting program today. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
I think more people should listen and realize what is really going on and pass this information farther on as these elections are coming up. It's important for everybody to be aware.
Are you impressed with the candidates and how they are giving information to the people about what they're going to do to help bring back jobs in America?
Michael, I don't know if I'm impressed because I'm like others. I don't listen to them often enough. I'm looking forward to the debates, and hopefully the right questions are asked and I'm able to make a good decision. I have not been following them too much.
You're right.
Here and there.
I mean, actually, most people tell me that the ads on the radio and television have bored them to death. As soon as the ad comes on, they switch it.
Right.
And they're just tired of it.
It's the same rhetoric over and over, and we're all tired of that. And I am looking forward to the debates and so I can hear everyone, you know, and see them talk to each other and respond, which is very important.
The one big thing that really that I'm promoting is by buying American made, we're actually circulating our hard-earned dollars here in the USA.
And we are doing that. Michael, where I work, as we get our packages, whether it's parts for our engine room or computer parts and so forth, those that are made in the United States, I am noticing, have a flag right on the outside of the brown box as it's delivered by UPS or FedEx, which I don't ever recall seeing before. So you and others who are with you on this pilgrimage, let's call it, are making a dent in people at least realizing and seeing that we should buy American, and we're seeing it on the outside. So people are putting it on the outside so others are made aware that it is American made.
Very good. That's what cheers me up. And I welcome everybody that's listening. If you have a comment like that, I'll be mentioning more about them in upcoming programs. You can email me at michael@americanworkersradio.com. And remember, we want to circulate more of our dollars here in the USA rather than around the world. It really upsets me to go into the stores and see so much made in foreign countries and nothing made in America. It's insane.
Right.
And Diane Sawyer and David Muir and Sharon Alfonsi did a great amount of work in the last year and a half promoting the American Made campaign, and I can't compliment them enough. And by the way, speaking on the radio and having those television presentations is very effective because people see it, they hear it, and they start to react. And this is something that we have to continue to do. It's just like our Pulaski Day parade this year. We're marking the 404th anniversary of the first Polish settlers in America. And we're also honoring all American workers. But more importantly, 404 years ago, when the first Polish settlers came to America, they came to set up businesses that they maintained during their time. The products that they made were then shipped over to Europe to do positive work to bring back money to the new colony.
Exactly. So, even then, they knew that nothing really is free. So they came and they went to work.
There is just too many programs now that are paying people not to work, and that's really has to stop. And I'm looking for the candidates to speak up about that. And I don't want to hear, oh, the Democrats like this and the Republicans like that. What are we going to do for America right now? Not just talk and be forgotten after the election, but to take action and put it in writing so that we can hold them accountable.
Exactly. No, keep up the good job, guys.
Thank you for calling in.
All right, bye-bye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to pause for a few messages. And as I said, I have some community announcements at the end of the program. Do stay tuned. And remember, you can listen to rebroadcasts this afternoon by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
After a long day of play, give your kids what they really want. Great-tasting snacks and meals from Giorgio. Giorgio's delicious mozzarella sticks, toasted American cheese sticks, and macaroni cheese triangles will satisfy even your pickiest eater. Since 1928, Giorgio has stood for quality and nutrition, so you can count on them for great taste and convenient snacks and appetizers. Look for these great Giorgio products and more in your grocer's freezer. And for recipe ideas, log on to GiorgioFoods.com.
The office of Leon Mankoski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Mankoski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521. Welcome back to our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for spreading the word about all of our efforts. What we're trying to do is to get people to think American. People were so busy just running in, grabbing things on impulse that for years and years, what happened in America was really overlooked. And also, when there were a few extra bucks in the treasury, there were people who didn't notice what was happening around them. However, now that gas has gone up so high, the cost of taxes on properties and all the other taxes that we're hit with, and the rising cost of food and everything else, people are taking notice. I receive many nice emails from people, and when I meet them in my travels, tell me this is an unbelievable effort. Please don't give up the ship. Well, hopefully we won't give up the ship. But Joseph just made it a point, which I think is very important. It's about the federal level, state level, and the city level. And this is across the USA. This is not just in the area of our broadcast.
Well, a lot of the issue is we're actually starting to set up where the entitlements and the definition comes from the federal level. And we have a lot of fight over whether or not we're going to use block grants and we're going to allow block grants to the state. But what you have to understand is when the federal level says, yes, you know, the state is going to extend unemployment and they're going to pay these additional services and they're going to expand Medicaid, is that money is taken away from somewhere else. Just as we saw with the Chicago Teachers Union, is yes, the Teachers Union got their raises, etc., but the rest of the Chicago public government is going to take a hit over the next couple of years in order to offset those expenses. So the catch has to become is, what are we losing in our cities and states? And the Department of Transportation is not maintaining the roads, which means that you have to pay to have your car repaired or replace your tires. There's an indirect tax. So the question comes, where do we really want the federal government in? And I personally think that the federal government should handle infrastructure. It should handle defense. It should handle block grant for education. And it should collect income to distribute to the states based on the number of students, etc., and distribute that money from the federal area, and then the local taxes should be lower. What you see here is you have these big areas like Detroit, where the businesses leave, and the people who can't follow
and the expenses stay. The businesses leave and the expenses stay.
So you have that Harrisburg in Pennsylvania. And what you see is the people who can move, move. The people who can't move are stuck there. And they pay the consequences because as you have fewer people, the taxes go up. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, the tipping point is if you can get out, you leave. And that's what's happening with a lot of the cities and state level, because we're not collecting the money at the federal level to cover the issues. As your infrastructure degrades, mm-hmm. there's no reason for businesses to come into your area. We had that in the city here where the convention center became an issue, and they opened a convention center in Oaks, and it took a lot of the thunder out of the Philadelphia area. You see this where about half the people in Philadelphia go towards Center City to get a job, and the rest of them go out into the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. You can see that on our expressways.
Yeah. So the catch that you have here is we need to figure out what the role of the federal government is and what the priority is. Is the priority of the federal government going to be to mandate that we provide health care for everybody, or is it to go? Is it going to be to make sure that we actually have infrastructure in this country that is safe? And the bigger question is, if they're going to just punt and send all that stuff to the state level, is what happens when you have people who are feel they're being taxed too high in Maryland? They move to Pennsylvania. They find out they're not getting the services. They insist from their elected officials that they get the new services, and the taxes are raised to pay for those services. Ultimately, you're going to just continue to have to shift people around.
We're going to continue that discussion on our next broadcast, but I'd like to take this opportunity, and I want to say thank you, Joseph, for being here with me today, and thank you for tuning in. A few community announcements. Beginning today, the 26th, continuing until Sunday, the 30th, St. John Cantius Carnival is taking place at 4435 Almond Street in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia. Today through Saturday, 6 to 10 p.m. On Sunday, 1 to 5, they have rides, foods, and so much more. Stop by and enjoy. On Sunday, September the 30th, the PNA Lodge 3106 is having their pre-Polish American Heritage Month celebration. They're going to have a mass at 1 p.m. in Sacred Heart Church in Vineland, followed by a flag-raising ceremony at City Hall, and then a great Polish American Heritage Month celebration. And if you'd like more information, you can call Henry Michalkiewicz at 856-451-7704. I would also like to remind all of you to tune in Monday morning at 11 a.m. right here on 860 AM radio as we begin our Polish American Heritage Month celebration with a radio proclamation program and the luncheon. That's this Monday, October the 1st, where Barbara Anicka and I will be here speaking with you along with many guests from the community. If you'd like more information, you can check it out on the internet or call the museum at 215-922-1700. And don't forget that Polish Heritage Night is taking place on Saturday, October the 6th at 7 p.m. at PPL Park. That's at One Stadium Drive in Chester, Pennsylvania. For additional information, go to the front page of the internet site of Polish American Radio Program.com or Polish American Center.com. And our last announcement is that the Śląsk, the National Song and Dance Ensemble of Poland, is coming to Philadelphia. They'll be here on Thursday, November the 1st at 7:30 p.m. in Father Judge High School Auditorium. That's in Northeast Philadelphia. There is a link with full details on the front page of PolishAmericanCenter.com. I want to thank Barbara Ilnitska for all of her efforts in the Polish American community, all of our sponsors, and all of the supporters of American Workers Radio, and American Workers Need You. Remember, you can contact me by going to michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Until next Wednesday at 11, or this Saturday at 11, or next Monday morning at 11 a.m., here on 860 AM Radio, I wish you and yours the very best.